Well, ladies and gentlemen, the calendar is turned to March, and you know what that means.
It's time for tournament. What are we doing this year?
For March Easy. Yes, this is an annual ritual for Out of the Main. It's our March tournament, keeping in line with that other tournament, which, of course, this weekend is Selection Sunday, so it's appropriate that we're setting this up today.
Yes, this is our preview show.
So. Yes. If you're new to the podcast, every March, we do a tournament. We started with the March Yachtness or the Yacht Madness tournament.
Yeah, and that was where we tried to figure out if we ruled out the top four obvious yacht rock songs, what would be the champion of the best of the bunch. And that was a Bill of Bounty song, if
yes,
I recall.
Yes, it was. Yeah. Living It Up.
Yeah, we were.
Yep. Then the next year, we decided we were going to do the Niyat Invitational Tournament, or the NIT.
That was a fun bracket, because we had to put in all those songs that end up on these stupid playlists that aren't yachty, or compilations, or they get played on SiriusXM, that people complain about, and so that was kind of fun. And Luther Vandross won that one, right?
No.
Oh. Well, he sang at the end.
Yeah, that was One Shining Moment, wasn't it?
Yeah.
No, that one was won by, I believe, Gino Vannelli.
It was.
Yeah, that was a shocker. Kind of an upset. They got entered in under curious circumstances.
True. True.
There was a COVID issue that year. And then, of course, last year. Was it last year already?
Yeah, last year we did Steely Dan.
Yeah.
Talking about deep cuts.
That was the March 2 Madness.
Yes, it was.
Because of the mad scientists Becker and Fagan. So this year, instead of the NIT, we are doing the Toto Invitational Tournament Spectacular.
Okay. There you go.
Yeah. So not the NIT, but Toto Invitational Tournament.
Right. So we are going to, I guess the thread, you know, because I think when you think culturally and if you look at the stats on Spotify or anywhere you go, it's either Rosanna or it's Africa. I think maybe some people might say Hold the Line, or there is the identifiable song, their iconic song. But it's really, the question is, if you look at and talk to people that have a deeper knowledge of the catalog, the people that grew up or just absolutely adore the band Toto, is there another song in there somewhere that might be their champion? And we're going to dig through the deep cuts. We're going to dig through some of the other hits and see if it is true that the Blue Bloods rise.
Yeah. And what I'm trying to do throughout this process is to, and it's not easy, is to eliminate the built-in nostalgia factor of the songs that I grew up loving. And in part are the reasons I'm in this whole yacht rock thing to begin with. So Rosanna has this built-in nostalgia in Africa. So, but if I just compare a song against a song, which is what I'm going to try to do, do I have a different outcome? Not that I am going to be the judge and the arbiter, but we are going to bring in guests as we always do.
Yeah, and we will have some level of tie-breaking veto powers, which we'll explain later. But I think that it's kind of like the way I want to look at it is, I know what are the things that Toto does very, very well. What are the things that make them tick?
Mm-hmm.
And is there a song that better exemplifies that than, say, the obvious ones? You know, all the things that they do. And so maybe it pushes a little bit harder. Maybe the hits are a little bit too center for some of the capabilities that these guys had being such impressive musicians, right?
Yeah, we talked to, when we were lucky enough to talk to Steve Picaro last season, right? We asked, well, he raised the question, like, is there a main thing that Toto was supposed to have done and then all these other offshoots? And his response was some version of, yeah, we may have explored that a little too much.
Well, they did kind of have a prog side to them, too. It's,
yeah,
I don't know if it was their ability to play in a fusion style. So maybe it's more that they incorporated some of the fusion licks because they were surrounded maybe by some of these more jazzy players that could do that. But they injected that a lot. And I think to some degree, if you are familiar with the hits and what the hits feel like to you, and then you dig into the albums, I think maybe you are a little bit surprised, or maybe it's a little too inconsistent for you, because they do delve into all these different areas.
Yeah, I was wondering if you were, which we'll come back to how you created the brackets, but to me there's like four sides to Toto, so you could almost have done the regions this way, which is there's a yacht rock wing, right?
Yeah.
Which was Rosanna, Africa, well, Hold the Line, apparently. And
St. So, George now, apparently. Yeah,
Georgia Porgy in 99. Yeah. Yeah, so you could have done a yacht rock region. I think you could also do a power pop region, which is they're straight ahead rockers, you mm-hmm. know, where you've got mm-hmm. eight. Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah.
I like to refer to that as the 80s soundtrack version of Toto, the prog area.
Yeah.
And then for the fourth one, you could either do songs that that have a woman's name in the title.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, you could do a whole bracket of those.
Rosanna, Leah, Pamela, Melanie.
Melanie, yeah.
Is that the same Melanie that Player was after, by the way?
Ooh.
We don't know.
We don't know.
But you could also do, maybe you include that with love songs, because they were really good at writing the love songs.
Ballads, too. Man. Luke could write a ballad. Yeah.
But that's not how you did it, right?
That's not how I did it.
No, but that is, it's exemplary of what you just said, though. There's so many sides for Toto, and I think they're all very different, but I think Toto does them all very well.
Was there another band out there ever where the individuals did so much session work outside of their band? I mean, I suppose you could make a half an argument for the Doobie Brothers, because they did back up other people, not prolifically like these guys right. did. And if you wanted to say Michael McDonald because of what he did and put that mm-hmm. in the Doobie Brothers column, I still don't think it would add up not to how close. Much Toto did.
No, I don't think it was close. Which is probably why they were hired, because they could do a little bit of everything.
Yeah, and almost secondarily to that, is there a band that where each player is regarded at or near the top of their respective instrument? Outside of bands, you know, progressive rock bands like maybe Yes or Rush, you could make that case. But I mean, Jeff Porcaro, obviously considered one of the great drummers of all time. Luke, whether you were talking Mike Porcaro or Hungate, they're discussed in high levels of the instrument.
Page, vocalist? Porcaro,
but, yeah. I'm,
right? Pick a vocalist, Bobby or... Just,
yeah, mean, maybe that was part of the problem, though, when you mentioned the vocalists, too, is that they struggled right when they were at their peak. They struggled to maintain the vocalists. That's mm-hmm. right where they started to have to change vocalists out. And that made for a kind of a maybe a little bit of a clumsy, cumbersome time, because the albums weren't as consistent for them right at their peak. You know, yeah. It's almost like they had to rediscover it again later.
They also kind of rose to prominence during that weird era of the very late 70s and early 80s, which was very, I think for pop music, it was very diverse in terms of what people were going for. There was classic rock, there was disco, there was some R&B and funk.
Yeah.
There was prog, you know, and so they were, it was kind of schizophrenic. You look at the charts from back then, like the top 40 charts, you're like, what did people want? Maybe they wanted a little bit of everything,
I guess.
And yeah. Not like today.
It is funny, if you dropped yourself into history right now and someone played you Rosanna and played you Hold the Line, you could believe it's the same band. But then if you gave them Africa, you'd be like, okay, now hold on. Really?
Yeah, exactly.
You sure?
And then some of these deep cuts that we're going to hear today, you're going to be like, hold on, no.
Yeah. Is this why they're maybe seemingly overlooked also by like album rock fans? I know that that they were criticized by some of the pundits that they weren't really rockers because they did so much studio work. And that was kind of, they were considered, I don't know if they're considered too highbrow or they weren't considered rockers because they were studio guys. But I just wonder if that's part of why Toto has hits. But as a general rule, I don't think a general audience says, okay, who are the great rock bands of the 70s? I think they're slow to come to that name.
I think so, too. I think it's also the nature of what the hits were. So take Rosanna and Hold the Line out of that, because those are both, I would say, rockers. But you've got Africa, right? I'll Be Over You.
I Won't Hold You Back.
Big right? Ballad. Like, but if you go again, this is why this tournament is kind of cool. If you go into the deep cuts, you can hear how hard they did rock. And I don't mean just like loud and whatever, but just sophisticated and, man... It rocks harder than Van Halen at times.
Yeah, they did do, when I was listening through to some of this stuff, one of the albums that never really did anything for me is that Falling In Between, and that one rocks so hard.
Yeah.
And it's like they're trying to prove that they can. I don't know if that's the case. I think that's what the interpretation mm-hmm. was. Or maybe it was they were ready for a new chapter and this is what they thought it might be. I don't know. You know, that when you make that many records, you get to a point where it's like you need to figure out what to do next. It can't just be the same again.
Yeah. I don't feel like, well, you kind of retracted it immediately. It's not like they had to prove it. It's like they wanted to do it because they could. And not every band can say that.
No.
Not everybody can say, you know what, let's explore our prog side for a while.
Yeah. And they did some of those albums without a lead singer, too. Well, not without a lead singer, without the addition of the high tenor lead singer. So where Luke and Paige were singing all the tunes. So I think you missed, at least to me, one of the identifying sounds of Toto is that high tenor.
Yeah.
You know?
Which I think is what makes it so cool when Luke sings a song. It's a totally different vibe, and that's cool to me, too. It's like, oh.
Yeah.
It, you know, when I was little, I had no idea it was different singers. Obviously, I knew Roseanne had multiple. You don't think about it,
but yeah.
But, it's like, and now, even like to this day, I'll be playing it for someone and they're like, who's singing that one? I'm like, that's the guitar player.
Yeah.
And they're like, what? He's got a beautiful voice. I'm like, yeah, he does.
And it's funny because when I was going through this, I don't recall which song it was because I think it happened twice, where it was a either mid-tempo or probably a ballad-y type of song. And I knew Luke was singing it and I automatically think, well, if Luke singing it, he probably wrote it. And both times they were Paige tunes.
Yeah.
And Paige himself has sung plenty of tunes. For him to write a song and then tell Luke, you sing it, tells me something about just the way that they thought as musicians.
I will confess here on early on that I am not an expert Toto aficionado. I would consider myself intermediate. So not a beginner. I know more than the hits.
Yeah.
But I'm not one of these Toto purists, so that kind of puts me at a nice place because I'm sort of still learning as I go.
Well, we're going to let you host then.
Okay, perfect.
So you don't have to answer any tough questions.
I'll have cue cards then?
Yep.
Okay.
Well, I'm probably only a couple of notches above intermediate. I mean, I don't put myself on the level of, you know, some of the guests that we're going to have, for example. I'm not going to give that away yet.
Okay.
But I know the catalog well, but there's whole portions of the catalog that I've never really spent significant time in. Like, as I've told you, I was never crazy about the way the band felt with Simon Phillips as a band member. So Tamboo was never an album that I got into. Minefields, I listened to them, and then I was like, once I got out of that initial phase of I bought the CD, I got to listen to it at least three times. I probably didn't go back to it much.
Yeah.
And I wasn't into Kingdom of Desire or Falling in Between, the more hard rocking ones, because it didn't do what I like from Toto, which is more the first three or four records, right? So I guess that puts me somewhere in between.
Well, in case you're wondering what is in the catalog, 14 studio albums, right? Did you know that?
Well, are they actually 14 studio albums? I know I have the album called 14. I guess I didn't realize that that counted up to 14 studio albums.
Yep.
Well, they got a couple of compilations that were actually studio compilations.
Yeah.
They resurrected tunes that had existed from previous tracks. So that was the Old is New and that XX compilation.
Yeah, Old is New is good. We're going to come back to that.
Okay.
So they sold more than 40 million records worldwide to date. I don't know. How many Grammys? You have any idea how many Grammys? Just as Toto?
No.
I'm not sure either. But it's multiple Grammys. A catalog that dates back from 1977 to almost present day. When was the last record?
14 came out in 2018, something like that,
yeah.
I think.
Man.
I know Old is New is listed as having come out later, but I don't think that's really true. I think the songs were finished before that.
Cool. All right. Well,
do you find it, by the way, going back to the personnel thing, the one thing I also found interesting was how easily they were able to switch out from Hungate to Mike Porcaro and not feel a bit different. Made me wonder as I was thinking about that, how similar his style is. And he obviously learned the songs from learning the way Hungate played them. But I wonder how much, as a young kid, because he was the younger one, was allowed to like hang around and sit there and watch Hungate play.
Could have been a huge influence, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe there's also in the back of his mind, I'm going to be doing this someday, or I want to be doing this someday, you know? So,
I mean, they were one of the bands that, outside of the lead vocalist issues that they had, they did pretty well survive personnel changes. You know, I mean, even up to today, they've kind of become almost like Yes in the sense that there's some main guys And then there's some musicians that sort of orbit the band because they'd either played with them back in the day as session guys, or they've toured with them multiple times. A guy like Greg Fillinganes.
I was going to ask you about him.
Yeah. So Fillinganes has toured with them a few times, and he's played with those guys on other side projects.
Right.
So Fillinganes is kind of considered somebody in the orbit of Toto. So he drops in, drops out on certain tours. Same is true with like Keith Carlock, the drummer. So to the point where Toto goes on tour and people have to look up, oh, I wonder what the lineup's going to be.
You know,
at this point, it's going to be Joe and it's going to be Luke. And there have been shows that Paige has dropped in on out in California. So it's like, who's the lineup? Kind of like you did with Yes.
Yep.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
All right, so with that as the backdrop, let's get into the Toto Invitational Tournament. And you've put together the bracket. So you are the selection committee on selection
Thursday.
Yeah,
this was hard because I went into it wanting to do 64 teams, 64 songs.
But the NIT does not need that, nor does the Toto
Invitational Tournament. That's true. So that's when I reduced it down to 32 because there just seemed to be like too many deep cuts, and it was going to be very inside baseball. So we cut it down to 32 and looked at it and thought, I don't know, it still feels a little too deep. What if we modify it this year? And we look to start with a bracket of 16, but we have a list of songs that goes beyond 16. So we're going to take, we're going to do four play-in games today. So 12 teams are locked into the bracket.
Mm-hmm.
The next eight are going to play for the final four spots.
Gotcha.
Right? We'll do that later. But there were also some songs on the bubble. Mm. And for those that like some deep cuts, I want to explain that when I started with 64, the goal was to have every album represented. And the goal was to, I guess, roughly follow spins on Spotify. I know that's not the most scientific way.
Mm-hmm.
The seeding was more maybe cultural. We know where the bigger hits were, regardless of what the numbers may say on Spotify now. But as we got into these deeper cuts and go into some of these albums that have 100,000, 150,000, then there's one that's 2.5 million, well, that would obviously be the one. So I put those into the pot, and as I had to cut it down to 32, some of the albums that had less popularity ended up getting cut out completely.
Ooh.
So we don't see anything from, I think, Turn Back, which is the third album. Nothing from 14, nothing from Falling in Between, nothing from Kingdom of Desire. I think that's kind of it, at least. And I'm sure that there's songs on the first two or three records, 1, 2, and 4, let's say, that probably deserve to be up higher, but aren't, because I wanted to try to represent all eras.
Gotcha.
So that's how we got down to the list of, I guess ultimately it was 20. We'll get that down to 16. But beyond the 20, here's a few. Are you familiar with this one? It's got 4.5 million spins on Spotify. I think this has kind of become a closet favorite for people. Let's listen to a little bit of Don't Chain My Heart. Don't chain my heart. Don't chain my heart. Don't chain my soul. Don't chain my soul. Don't chain my heart. Don't chain my heart. Because I got to let it go. That kind of a hard blues tune. Yeah. Another shocker when I looked it up that was written by Paige. I expected that to be like Luke wanting to get his oats sown and play some blues. But no.
We would have need a fifth region too because we don't have a blues region.
We don't have a blues region, yeah. So you can stop me if you have any notes on any of these. And one of the nicer tunes off of Tamboo that didn't quite make the cut, If You Belong to Me. And a lot of the songs from the Tamboo and Minefields era suffer from the fact that they're like a 3 to 4 minute song, but yet they're expanded out to 7 minutes, like super long intros, super long instrumental spots. And maybe that is part of why they didn't quite catch on. I mean, radio wasn't going to play a 7 minute tune at that point, right?
I will say the sounds from that era are pretty slick. Like, who's producing? Do you have any idea who produced the Tamboo record off the top of your head?
I know there was a period where Elliot Shiner produced two of the records, so it's probably that era.
Yeah, this sounds really good.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't sound like the early stuff, but it sounds really, really nice.
Well, here's one deeper down on the list, speaking of this was part of the project, Old is New Project, where they resurrected existing basic tracks that had been laid down before and built new tunes out of them. Or this had Jeff on drums. Sounds like an old vocal from Paige, so when he was much younger. Bob Clearmountain mixed it.
Hey, like here that. We go.
Let's hit Spanish C.
Your gypsy heart will set you free. Let's dance upon the Spanish Sea. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Close your eyes and come with me.
Yeah, like sped up Africa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And can we get a bell for Spanish Sea, by the way? We missed the pun bell there.
Yes. Speaking of Africa, Mashanga is also on the bubble list. But the reason I say speaking of Africa, because that's like the lyrical companion to Africa, sort of retells the story of that Africa tune.
I had them on my last four in, by the way, Mashanga. I was kind of surprised that the committee left them out.
Yeah. Gift of Faith. Now, there's a song that you brought to the podcast, I think, not that long ago.
How did I bring this to the... Because this is a gem.
We can make it if we only take the gift of faith. Oh, yeah. We can change it if we just accept the gift of faith.
You know what that sounds like to me? What year was Tamboo? Any off the top of your head?
Early 90s, I think.
I was going to say, it sounds like 90s alternative to me.
Yeah.
Almost like it could have been Rhythmcore. I don't know if people are familiar with Rhythmcore.
Yeah.
I love that tune, though. Oh.
Yep. Caught in the Balance, which was from Minefields. That was the return of Bobby Kimball. And I do have a note here that Elliot Shiner worked on that. Yeah.
There's an example of a tune that rocks, by the way.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's got that arena rock thing.
It does. But it shows you, I mean, again, explore the deep cuts. If you want to answer the question, was Toto a rock band? Keep going beyond just the hits.
Yeah. And speaking of songs that are girls' names, we got Melanie, which had Randy Goodrum as a co-writer.
Oh.
Hit that one.
Watching, driving through the night, I'm all alone.
So who would have been the bass player there? That is Mike Pecan.
Mike, yeah.
It's really, 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 really good throughout.
And I guess the last one I have from the bubble, this one fooled me because this is off of that Old is New.
Mm-hmm.
So again, many of those were tracks that were resurrected. And I would have sworn that's Jeff Porcaro on drums. We're going to listen to a little bit of Alone, and then I'll tell you who the drummer is.
But 20 years gone by, pulled myself out of my bed. It's getting harder every time.
So that's a reconstruct of earlier session work.
Yeah, but the drummer's Vinny Caliuta.
Ooh.
That was a shocker. Yacht shocker, but no, rock shocker.
Rock shocker. Now, why would he have been in that?
No idea.
Huh. Very interesting.
No idea. One last thing. Let's check out this solo at the end on this one, because the style and the tone kind of represented the, like, what is now the current Lukather sound. He's kind of taken some bits from the Shredder, some, you know, from the Whammy Bar Dive Bomb guys, and brought that into his texture. So let's check that out.
Doggy. Yes, sir. Yeah.
Well, is that it for the bubble?
That's the bubble.
All right, because I've got one more from, I would have sworn was my last four in, and they're not even on the bubble.
Okay.
You have to explain yourself, committee right. members, because this is like North Carolina finishing with an 18-12 record and not making the field.
Okay.
Where's Tale of a Man?
I guess on the cutting room floor. I thought you were going to ask me about White Sister, because White Sister is like a staple of their live thing now.
You'll probably hear that from one of the guests. And his name is R.S., or his initials are R.S.
But I couldn't have all, it's like, you know, the football, I couldn't have all SEC tournament teams in the tournament, right?
That's such a good dude, though. But anyways.
Yeah, I know.
Maybe it'll win the way Gino Vannelli won.
He well, we almost had an error in the bracket we found today. So yes. That has been since repaired.
Yes. You're welcome, Pamela. All right. Well, any other thoughts on how this was constructed or where we're going from here?
Well, I think that some of our guests are going to ridicule me for the selection process, so we can deal with that in good time. Now,
Well, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say we can use our lightning round time to do the playing games.
Are we going to reveal the brackets beforehand, or are people going to hear it for the first time next week?
Well, we don't have the brackets filled out yet, but...
No, but they could fill out their own bracket. Oh, of course, yeah, we don't know who the final... Well, then let's get there. Let's get into the lightning round and get from our Elite 8 down to our Final 4. Or no, is it 8
you're,
that are going
you're
in?
Just making stuff up now. All it doesn't make any sense.
Hit the bell.
Yep.
No, not the bell. Hit the lightning round. Okay, here we are. I think we made it safely.
Through the storm.
Ooh, okay.
Jeez.
So, re-explain here. So, we've got a total of 20 teams, and we need to get it down to 16?
That is correct, yes.
Okay. So, we've got 4 play-in games?
Yep. So, we've got them seeded. So, we're going to look at the first matchup, and we'll just kind of have to talk these through and come up with our decision, right?
Yeah. I was going to ask you, who's the arbiter of which goes through?
Well, we don't have anyone here to be a tiebreaker, so we're just going to have to behave.
For me, I've seen these matchups, and they're all black and white for me. It's not even close.
All right. Well, if they're as clear as you say they are, then let's do it. Number 13, Straight for the Heart.
Is playing
another one from the 7th one, and that would be These Chains with That Purdy Shuffle. Is it gonna get easier? The time to break these chains around my
home. You may have just inadvertently given away why it was so obvious for me. So should I just reveal who I'm sending through?
Okay.
These Chains.
I agree with that, too.
Okay. Oh,
despite
so
the seeding, I know I seeded them that way, but that was based on Spotify numbers.
This is almost a long-lost yacht rock track.
It really is.
Purdy Shuffle.
The only reason it's not is because of the Sonics, the very roomy drums.
Correct.
That's about it.
Yeah, but I love that drum. That's Porcaro, still.
And this is I've said this before, he has been quoted as saying that's the one time he played the exact Purdy Shuffle, as opposed to some modification thereof.
Like Rosanna.
Right.
All right. So that one was obvious. So These Chains goes through fairly convincingly. It was 111-45 was the score.
Oh, wow.
Pretty convincing.
Is that over at halftime? Jeez.
Yes, sir.
Before we even got to the second verse.
Right.
All right. Let's go to number 14 is Stranger in Town. That was kind of an MTV hit with one of their in-between sort of singers, Fergie Fredrickson. It's strange, but I kind of dig it. Here it is. You And that's going against a slow burner off of Tambu. It even has some echoes of Africa in it. This is called I Will Remember.
So Stranger in Town sounds like MTV to me.
With all those zaps and...
Yeah, it just sounds like, and, here we are, MTV heyday. And I Will Remember. I could hear the tones of Africa that you're hearing.
Yeah, did you know Michael McDonald's singing on that one?
Did not know that.
I read that. He's probably in that chant. So does that one go through for you? I Will Remember?
This one was decisive as well. This was I Will Remember goes through in a route.
The low seed goes through again. And I agree.
Yeah. Okay, so that was easy. So no fights yet.
Nope. So now we're going to go to the number 15 versus 18 matchup. We're going to start with a tune, the 15th seed. This is off of Fahrenheit. In fact, it was my introduction to the album, Fahrenheit. And this is Till the End.
Okay, so that is the 15th seed going against.
This is epic. This has Jimmy Webb as a co-writer on the lyrics. This is like pure American songwriting. This is called Home of the Brave. You know, yeah, and actually possibly my two favorite Toto songs.
Ooh, that's going to be tough then.
I know. At least today they are.
Okay. Well, I will just mention, that no offense to any of our listeners or guests, that I am not personally a huge fan of the power pop side of Toto.
Okay.
So I'm tilting my hand there.
Yeah.
Would you like to go first, though?
Well, my vote would probably be barely scratching by Home of the Brave, but it sounds like you're more decisive until the end, so we can allow that through.
Yeah, that's another route for me. So okay. If just barely for you, I say we go with Till the End.
Yeah, that's fine.
All right.
Okay, the last play-in game we have is another song from Fahrenheit. This is kind of a classic ballad approach from Jeff. We talked about the way he uses the side stick a lot on these ballads. So this is from Fahrenheit. As I said, this is called Without Your Love. It's not the same without your love. Every night and every day, girl. It's not the same without your love. You don't have to be afraid. It's not the same without your love.
Okay. Very nice. I think we get we're treated to a little pop bass in that one.
Yeah, now we're going to go back to the power pop side of Toto, which you've already told us what you think of it. But I think this is as good a rocker as they ever did. A+ on the hook. Good enough for Justin Bieber to steal. This is Going Home.
That's my favorite of their power pops.
Ah,
yes.
Good. Well, let's see what decide on this. You go first on this one.
So that's the 17 seed, right? Against the 16, Without Your Love. I just love the vibe of Without Your Love. So I could live with Going Home, but I would prefer Without Your Love.
Well, let's listen to the end of Without Your Love, and let's listen to the guitar solo and see if that influences the judge's decision. Yes, playing purely on instinct there, man.
I'm convinced.
Okay.
Without Your Love goes through?
I think the judges have allowed that one through, yep.
Congratulations.
Okay.
All right, the playing games are complete.
All right. I'll have to get that bracket ready for our first guest coming up soon.
Are we revealing that or not until next week?
Not until next week.
Okay.
What else you got? You got any final word or anything like that?
So we mentioned, you know, I said you could have done four regions with their four different distinct styles.
Yeah.
as I'm listening to this list that you made, one song just jumped out at me as, if you had to force all four regions or styles into a single song, it would sound like Stop Loving You off the seventh one.
So your dark horse pick then?
Maybe. So anyways, so that's that. I have a final thought unrelated to this tournament, but I wanted to share it.
Okay.
Do you have a final thought related to the tournament?
Nope.
Okay. Well, can I permission to change the subject only slightly?
That's fine. Yes, I've done enough thinking.
Okay. But you mentioned people who have played with the Toto band, and we talked to Neil Steubenhaus a couple weeks ago, right?
Right.
And we posted that interview, and we got an interesting comment when we did. Did you see the comment that Tommy Taylor made?
No.
Oh. So, this was kind of cool. So, flipping through the comments, Tommy Taylor is the original drummer of the Christopher Cross Band.
Right.
Who's been on the show before. And Tommy Taylor simply said, awesome. I wish I had taken his nod to heart. Huh. Great guy. Huh. And I said, his nod?
Cryptic, eh?
Mm-hmm. He said, I'll write it out.
Oh,
and he did. So, just quick story.
Did he give you permission to share?
He did. Okay. Well, it's on Facebook, right? Isn't that already implied permission?
Maybe it was a direct message.
Yeah. No, this is on a comment. Okay. So, I ended up being flown out to LA during the Alessi Longtime Friends sessions to track one more piece that Bobby Alessi wanted to get on the record called How Long, How Much. I had tracked all but one piece on the album in Austin with Roscoe Beck on bass. One song we didn't quite get was Still in Love with You. Chris, he's talking about Christopher Cross because Christopher Cross works on this album with these guys.
Oh, okay.
Opted to track that song with Jeff Beccaro in LA after the fact. So I was surprised to get the call to track this new piece, but eager for the opportunity. I wasn't a session drummer, but rather a band guy who had have sort of been thrust into this position. And I'm not sure I ever really wanted to be anything more than a band guy, but we were past that now. Chris had become a solo artist, and we were side guys even though we'd always been a band. I don't know if Bobby and Billy Alessi wanted me to play or whether it was Chris and or Michael Austin, but they flew me and my kit out to Kendrick Recorders to do the piece. Not being a reader and not being super quick under pressure, I luckily had a drum machine demo of the song to work out a part out at home before leaving. I had the arrangement down pretty well, set up the sounds, etc. And when he gets there, the session is with Robbie Buchanan and Neil Steubenhaus.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to cut it. So they're cutting it, and Chris is in the other room doing whatever, so he finally comes out, and he got free enough to join us. Piece went down very quickly, and I made a good showing. He talks through the fact that being in this position with Christopher Cross was precarious because I always wanted because I was always being held to measure by what the session greats played, even though we had evolved as a band.
Right. Yeah. Get that.
Exactly. Said it's kind of like pointing out to your girlfriend how nice the bottles and the magazines look, but never really saying nice things about your wife in particular. So a lot of pressure and insecurities. I'm going to fast forward. So after the track went down, I was packing my own gear to get ready to be flown back to Texas. And Neil Steubenhaus approached me, and I knew he was a huge cat, and he was very pleasant and asked, "Do you live out here?" And I got very sincere, very insecure very quickly. I replied, "No, I'm in Texas." And he sort of raised an eyebrow and said, "You could work out here." Yeah, almost imploded. In Austin, I was a very strong player. I'd lived there all my life. I didn't read charts. In LA was the big city. It was cool to visit. I enjoyed recording our record there, but nothing could seem worse than moving to LA and failing. And then he concludes, I didn't read the script well. I could have learned to read and chart out basic pop stuff pretty easily. I was good enough to play on Record of the Year, which he's talking about,
right.
Sailing. He said, I beat out Jeff Beccaro's performance on that song.
Yeah.
Neil was basically putting his hand out to me. Had I taken the nod and moved out there, I think I would have at least gotten a few good chances to prove myself via his support. That's one of my biggest regrets. Anyways, why don't we finish out with a little Alessi Brothers? Here is that How Long, How Much. And listen for the way he tunes his kit.
Yep. With small drums, big sound.
Yeah, yeah. So you get a little of that. So here it is.
How long?
That's all I got.
Ahoy, Polloi.
I guess so now.